So back up just a bit, probably like 3, 4 years prior to this, my brother and my sister-in-law, they became obsessed with like doing an Ironman. So we got these mountain bikes and we would like mountain bike, but it never happened. Like life came and we just never did it.
And you
So
had
that,
mountain bikes,
yep,
which are cool, but
exactly.
they are not road bikes,
No, they are not.
which you know very well now.
Yes, I was so naive doing that first half Ironman, like, because it, you're used to running where it doesn't really matter too much, like just have the right pair of shoes.
Right.
But
You
oh
didn't know
my.
about gears and all that. So did you
No.
actually do the bike part with a mountain bike, or did you actually get a road
So I
bike
had this like old school like 1970s road bike that I did it
from
with.
where? Where'd you get that?
Sandy's grandpa.
Are you kidding? That is awesome though.
Welcome to the Phase Transition Podcast. In this episode, I am excited to have Tammy Hawes back on the podcast. If you haven't heard the first episode we recorded together, you can go back to episode number 7. In that episode, she shares her phase transition as well as her experience in an abusive relationship that she got out of, and she was willing to be vulnerable and share her story in order to help people who may be trapped in these very painful situations. This episode is different. It's a different tone. It's a bit more upbeat. We talk about Tammy as a super athlete, and I call her a super athlete because she has completed 20 marathons, including 5 qualifier Boston Marathon. She has completed 33 half marathons, 3 ultra marathons, 1 Ironman, 1 half Ironman, and 3 Ironman races. And clearly she's passionate about what she's doing. No, being a super athlete isn't Tammy Hawes' full-time job. She, in the daytime, is a community manager at nursing.com, formerly known as nrsng.com. So today we have this fun conversation about her athletic journey, and she also shares some tips and tricks maybe for those who would like to enter the fitness journey or are already in it and would enjoy hearing her story. So I hope you enjoy this episode, which is a little bit different. But I do believe that mental and physical fitness go hand in hand, and we should all always strive to improve. So I hope you enjoy.
Well, I am super excited to have Tammy back, Tammy Hawes back on the podcast. And today we are going to talk about her journey as an athlete, super athlete, I would even say. We're gonna try to learn something because it's quite incredible what she's accomplished all these years. I'm going to dig, into her athlete brain and try to see what we can learn from her journey and for those who are maybe beginner and maybe discouraged at times because of the magnitude of what they envision themselves doing and then having to apply that, and maybe she can break it down a little for us. So the first question I want to ask you, Tammy, as early as you can remember in your life, like when did you start becoming interested in athletics, and really getting into it?
Yeah, so the first time that I can remember being interested in it, I was probably like 12, maybe 10 or so. And there was like this impromptu kid 5K or something that we went to. And my dad's like, hey, you want to do it? And I really wanted to, but I was so intimidated and scared that I sat out. And even to this day, like, I still remember the feeling of wanting to do it, but I was too scared to actually, like, go and do it. So I
What were you scared about? Were you scared about not finishing or not being able to run? Or what was the, do you remember what the fear came from?
Yeah, it was just like the feeling of the unknown of I'm not good enough, or, you know, some, like, just being scared to try, I think, was the biggest.
Something new.
Failing. Yeah, the trying and failing kind of thing, or disappointing people. So that was the first time I remembered. And then I didn't really start running until about seventh grade, and then in high school or middle school. So, yeah.
So in middle school, you started running, meaning you went into
track and field.
Track and field.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for. And my daughter is now trying to do it, and I can't even remember. Yes. So you signed up for track and field in seventh grade. And you really liked it, or?
Yeah, so I signed up. My older brother did the hurdles in high school, so I kind of just followed in his footsteps and did the 100 and 300 meter hurdles back in high school, and was a total sprinter, couldn't run over a mile. Like, I went into probably cardiac arrest trying to go a mile, or at least I felt like it. And yeah, I just really loved sprinting, and 100 meter hurdles was my favorite, and then I also did the 4x1 relay. So that was kind of all through high school. I just focused right on sprinting. So,
so you stuck to it all throughout high school. So you found your thing.
Yeah, I did. Went to state in the 4x100 meter. Got, I think we got like sixth back in the day. I'm trying to remember. So that was my high school career. I loved competing. That was kind of the thing, like the adrenaline of competing against others.
And we'll see, as you go that it stayed a recurring.
Yes, for sure. But I couldn't run over a mile. I remember running, my best friend was on the cross country and she did long distance in high school. And I remember her like, hey, come running with me. We got like, I don't know, 800 meters. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. We have to go around. Can we turn around? She's like, no, no, just one foot in front of the other. I was like, no, I can't do it. So yeah, so that's how much of a sprinter I was, for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So then you go to college, and then what did you do with it?
So in college, I remember like, after I graduated, I was driving in the car with my aunt, and I remember saying, you know, I'm just really bummed that I can't compete anymore, you know, because high school track was over. Mm-hmm. I was going to a school, I wasn't going to run track in high school or anything. I was going to a school that didn't have athletics. So she's like, what do you mean? You can still compete. Like, you know, so I was like, yeah, I guess. So then in college, they had, it was kind of like a, I don't know what you would call it, like an intramural kind of thing. So they had like a track program, but you just competed against people at the school or the university. Okay. So I did that. I stuck with the sprints. But then when I was 19, my older brother, I kind of looked up to him, but I was 19. I hadn't ran over like 6 miles in my entire life. And he's like, hey, let's sign up for the Park City, Utah Marathon. And I was like, yeah, sure, no big deal. I mean, I was 19, right?
So like the full marathon?
The full marathon.
Not even a half?
Nope.
And at that point, had you done like 5Ks or 10Ks? Or...
Nope.
So you went from like 100 meter hurdle to marathon, like a full marathon.
Yep, the week leading up to it. So it was a week training. And the week leading up to it, he's like, all right, let's start training. So I probably ran like 6 miles, like at one time during that week of training.
That was the most you ran before the full marathon.
Yeah.
Now had he, cause you're talking about John, right?
Yeah.
So had he ran a full marathon before?
Had he, I can't remember if he had, I don't think so. I think this was kind of just one of our crazy
ideas. Let's do something hard.
Exactly.
And yeah. Cool.
And cool.
And then had he done like 5Ks and 10Ks, and like, was he into running?
So we were both into like sprinting and like that kind of thing. So,
right.
Like, and we were going to the school together. And I think my little sister was up there at the time too, because she did it with us. So it was the three of us. And none
she
of
did
us...
the marathon. She did the marathon with you. Yeah. Okay.
She was probably the biggest like runner. So she had been cross country in high school. Mm-hmm. So she was more of like the mid distance. Mm-hmm. But we all just were like, yeah, let's do it. So we like sign up for this marathon on a whim, and none of us had really ever done, I think she had done a 5K, and I don't think any of us else had done anything other than sprints. Yeah.
I haven't heard that story. That's really funny. Okay. So then what happens?
So let's just say that was a huge mistake.
Did you all finish it, or?
We did all finish it. So John finished first. My older brother finished first. And then I, of course, like take out the gate, like 8:30 minute pace, you know, like, oh, this is great. I feel amazing.
Oh, wow.
Mile 13. I'm like, what in the hell was I thinking, kind of thing. So I finally finish at like 4:30 or so.
Mm-hmm. And, not too bad. I mean, for a first timer.
Yeah, right. And then my little sister, she had like this huge radio she put on the outside of, with an antenna that mm-hmm. she was running with back in the day.
What? So marathon?
Yeah, yeah. It was like just,
she didn't even have a Walkman or something.
No, no. It was like a radio. An antenna. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's like one of those smaller radios that she had, and like she pulled up her antenna and like was running along. But we started to get worried about her because like these old guys were finishing, and like, and we're like, maybe we should go look for her. So like, but she finally finished, I think like 5 hours or something like that. But yeah, that was my first.
Oh my word. What an adventure. What an adventure.
Yeah.
But I mean, kudos to you for finishing.
Yeah, you know.
Marathon always is like a big surprise. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Not after a while, but like, yeah, you don't know until you know.
You don't know.
Means.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. I was hurting. I was hurting for weeks after that. And I was like, I'm never doing that again. That's it. Mm-hmm. No interest.
So what was the next thing then after that?
So I really didn't do anything else until I was probably like, I think 22 or something. And I had moved back to Texas, and I kind of got into running more now, just kind of staying, you know,
right.
Kind of mental health kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for another marathon here in Texas with my best friend. And so we do it. And surprisingly, with a little bit of training that I was doing, I wasn't doing much. But I cut off 30 minutes. So I finished under 4 hours. So
very nice.
At that point I was like, oh wow, maybe mm-hmm. I can be good at this, you know? So
But you had been running more long distance at that point, like on an ongoing basis. Like your body mm-hmm. was starting to get trained to longer distance. And so what about the half marathon? Like you just shoot it for the full marathon right away. Like,
yeah.
Like, no, no half distance.
Yeah.
Cause I like half marathons, because they're like, this is a good distance.
I know. Yeah. By the time Nope. No. Just went straight for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so that one, then you saw your potential. I'm sure at that point you were like, okay, I can do this, and I can be good at it.
Yeah. Yep. So then it kind of just like took off from there. I started to become more serious about it, like running every day. And then I can't remember what else. It just kind of just took off from there, really. After that, I was just 23 or so at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of, at that point, it came more of just kind of a, like everyday kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't really much of like an obsession or like a need mm-hmm. for it. I remember Fort Worth had like this 5-year series where you got like a star each year. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what me and my best friend were like, hey, let's just do that. So we went from that, and then we decided to sign up for three ultra marathons. So then we decided to do those after
So then that's after your second full marathon, you decided to do an ultra marathon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were like, okay, we're ready for the next level. Yeah. And that
Let's just do it.
50 miles or what is it?
So this
miles?
One was just a 50K. Yeah. So it was 31. Yes. Yeah.
31 miles. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we decided to do that. Mm-hmm.
That is big though. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next 5 years, I did the Cowtown, and it was kind of just like maybe a race or two every year. That I did that. So yeah, it just kind of became more of a, I want to see how I do. So then.
Right. But when you say a race or two, that means full marathons, right?
Yeah.
You would do a couple of marathons a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On an ongoing basis.
Right. Right. Exactly. So then in 2009, I was getting good and I could see like my time's improving because I was being consistent and stuff. And I just got this crazy whim and you were there. I started training more with my brother, John, and in my head, and I was talking to them, they're like, you should just try to qualify for Boston. Mm-hmm. And of course in my head, like this was going to be my third marathon, I think, cause I had been doing ultras. Yes. And I was like, okay. But in my head, I told myself the goal. I don't think I ever talked to you about it. Did I?
I don't think so. What did you say in your head?
I was just like, you know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see how I can do, you know? And so I kind of made the goal in my head to try to qualify for Boston in 2009. Okay.
So you didn't say it out loud. That's what you're trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know, the girls, the friends I was training with, they were wanting to qualify for Boston. Yeah. Right. And I was just kind of tagging along. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to run.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
And that training was hard in 2009. That was my very first full marathon.
Right.
And it was accidental that I started training with them because they were the runners, they were my friends, and it was pretty hardcore, the training that they were doing. And I wasn't planning on qualifying or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to finish. And I got lucky to even finish because I had the worst splinting ever.
Oh, that's
happening
right.
At the end.
That's right.
Where I was like, I don't care if I have to like
just crawl to the
finish
line.
Oh yeah, crawl to the finish because I trained so hard for this. I don't care if I die. You know how it is.
Like, yes,
you like you so don't hard. Like yeah. You don't want to just give up.
And you don't know what to expect. That's the thing. You never know what to expect. Yes,
the
exactly.
The sad part is Kingwood, where we did that race, was such a nice, it was flat, it was easy, nothing like that other, we'll get there, but nothing like the other one we did.
Yes.
In
Utah.
Remember
that one. Yeah. So yeah, that one was miserable.
It's kind of sad that I got like injured on such an easy course. Okay. So back to you. Then
I signed up for that one. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So we signed up for that one. It was a New Year's race. And you know, back in the day, we didn't have these fancy watches that we have now. So it was just like one of those stopwatches, you know, like you don't know your pace. Yeah. All I knew was times. So in my head, I was like, okay, I need to be at mile 20 at 3 hours. Cause then I'll have, I don't know. I needed to be there at like 2:40 or something. Cause then I could run the last six at a 10 minute pace.
Right.
And then I could still qualify. So that was my goal, to do that. So I get to mile 20 and I was on pace. Like it was like 2:40 or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, sweet, I might be able to actually do this. So that's when I finally was like, okay, you know, I can do this. Right. And so I keep going and I happen to meet this girl, and you know, at mile 20, I don't care who you are, you start to doubt, you know, anything, you know, no matter how in shape you are, that's when all the pain starts to come.
Yeah.
So luckily I had met this girl and it was starting to seep into my head. Like, I can't really do this, you know, even though I was on pace, you know. And I met this girl and she had ran Boston before, and I started talking to her about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm trying to qualify. And she's like, oh, it's so great. This crowds are amazing. And like, you would like, it's the best feeling in the whole world. So I was like, oh my God, I really want to do this. Like, I want to qualify. And at that time, like, I, like, my whole mindset, like, switched. And I was like, okay, this pain will go away. Like, you know, cause your quads are like tightening and like, so I'm like, okay, run, walk. That's what I'm going to do. You know, I have 10 minutes per mile to do this. So I crossed, and I think I crossed in like, I think it was like 3:39 or something
it
like that.
It was amazing. Like, you did an amazing time. Like, you were like passing me all the time.
Oh yeah, because it was like a loop.
We were booking it. Yeah, you were booking it.
Yeah, that's right. Like, it was a loop course. Like, yeah, so I was like, okay. Yeah. So I crossed with just like maybe 2 minutes or so to spare. And I was like ecstatic. I was like, I cannot believe that I just did this, you know? So yeah, that was the first time I qualified for Boston. And then my next race was Boston. Mm-hmm. And that girl was right. I mean, the crowds, the experience, everything was completely what you would dream of. Like,
so how, explain that, especially like for non-runners, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because I kind of have a feeling of, you know, slightly understanding, just because I, you know, I'm a runner and enjoy it, but to be with a crowd that's just like, you know, you're among people that have worked so hard to get there, and so there has to be some kind of electricity in the air that you know, everybody's like, just can't believe they made it, or I don't know,
right? And that's
so
kind of
explain how that was.
So at Boston, this was pre-bombing, so it was a little different than it is now. It wasn't as like, you know, now it's a lot harder, like everybody wants to do it, right? So but even back then, like, you have this sense of like community, like all the runners, it's like this sense of community, like, you know what it took to get there, like it is sacrifice from family, friends, drinking, like you know, getting to every single workout, you know. And then as you're going, the entire 26.2 miles is crowded with people, crowded. Like, you're hearing screams the entire way. The police officers are like, way to go. Like, every single person in there.
People are carrying you through the whole race. That's kind of
exactly.
Yeah. Cause it gives you fuel. It gives you fuel, I guess, huh?
Yep. And then as soon as you see, there's like this, Sitco gas station sign, and you see that sign, you turn the corner because you know you have 1 mile to go when you see that sign. You turn the corner and the electricity in the crowd is amazing. And then you see like the entire, like, the home stretch, and you see like that Boston Marathon sign. And like, it's just, it's an incredible feeling of, you know, I worked my ass off for this.
Accomplishment. Yeah. Yeah. Accomplishment. And so you got hooked at that point.
I did. After that,
and you were like, I've got to come back.
Yep. After that, I was like, I'm doing this. Like, I am in. Because before I had gone to Boston, I was like, I'm done. Like, I made my goal. Mm-hmm, like, because it's hard. Like, no matter how in shape you are,
Of course. Yeah, so, I still have to. I'm still hoping maybe one day I'll do it. But
yeah,
you can't go with the maybe. I think I could. I could have done it when we did that Utah race, had they not changed the course.
Like, oh yeah, for sure.
You know, because that's the best shape I had ever been then, you know, when I want to celebrate my 40, and I trained like the whole summer. It was hot. It was, you know, Texas. And
I do.
but I wasn't, you know, it is what it is. Like, I wasn't discouraged, but then, yeah, with the kids and everything else. I mean, and I know it's no excuse, because you have a ton of friends who they all have kids and stuff, and they still manage to like fit it in, and they've also qualified. But you put your priorities where you want to put them. But
yeah, exactly.
It's great that you have been rewarded for, you know, because I know you put your everything in it.
Yeah,
like, you're all in.
Yeah, for sure.
Then after, like, how is it, like, how was it like to get there at the end, you know, you arrive at the finish line, who was there the first time?
So the first time I went, it was actually, I had quite the crowd. I had my sister, her friend, my best friend came, my mom and dad, my ex-husband was there. Yeah, there's a huge crowd at the finish line. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just, it's a feeling that, you know, you want to achieve again and again. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, so after that, after Boston in 2009, I kind of was like chasing after a new challenge. Like I wanted to challenge. I'm always about like challenging yourself and seeing what you can do. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for what's called the New Year's Double. So it's a back-to-back marathon. Mm-hmm. So you do a marathon on New Year's Eve and then a marathon on New Year's Day. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I did that. I actually qualified for Boston New Year's Eve, and then I ran another one the next day. So wow. That was kind of the goal. Yeah, so that was kind of the goal. But the training was intense for that. I was doing like 20-mile runs on Saturday and Sunday. So yeah, that goodness. Was pretty crazy. Yeah,
that is intense. No, did Sandy do both as well with you or at the time?
Yeah, I think she did. No. She did the... I think she just did the full on New Year's Day.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Cause I remember she did that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's she did. Yeah. Cause my dad did it. And then Anna did it and Sandy and Tyler and Alan did it too. So yeah, it was kind of a big day.
All family members for the listeners.
Yes. Oh yeah. Sorry. Yes. I got all my family to do it too. So that was pretty exciting. But the same year, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, so at that point, you qualify for your second Boston race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was still kind of chasing after that challenge. My sister-in-law and sister, we all decided to sign up for a half Ironman. Mm-hmm. So we all kind of signed up for the half Ironman, and we did that one in October.
In 2011 or 2012?
It was 2014. Okay. And then we finished that one, and then I was like, okay, I need something more. So
wait a second, you're going too fast. So you hop from your second Boston Marathon, which you ran in 2012. That one
I ran 2014. So I kind of took some time off after Boston and kind of just
but when you qualified the second time. Mm-hmm. You ran that one in what year?
2014.
Okay, so that was 2014.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, that same year you wanted to do the half Ironman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the year you do the Boston, and then in the middle of the year, towards the fall, you did the. Okay. So how did you switch into like starting to bike and swim? Like how was that? Because I mean one thing, biking and swimming is are two other things.
So true. Oh man, I don't even know. I just taught myself really. So back up just a bit. Probably like 3-4 years prior to this, my brother and my sister-in-law, they became obsessed with like doing an Ironman. So we got these mountain bikes and we would like mountain bike, but it never happened. Like life came and we just never did it. So
and you had mountain bikes.
Yep.
Exactly. Which are cool. But
exactly.
They are not road bikes.
No, they are not.
Which you know very well now.
Yes. I was so naive doing that first half Ironman. Like, because, you know, you're used to running where it doesn't really matter too much. Like, just have the right pair of shoes.
Right.
But,
you didn't know about gears and all that. So,
no.
Did you actually do the bike part with a mountain bike? Or did you actually get a road bike?
So, I had this, like, old school, like, 1970s road bike that I did it with.
From where? Where'd you get that?
Sandy's grandpa.
Are you kidding? that is awesome though. That is so awesome. But you were like, I don't care, I just need a bike, I don't care.
Exactly.
I love it. I love how you just kind of like muscle your way through. Like, you don't really study it. You're like, oh, I'm just going to trust my body. And
you just do it.
So did you like get a trainer or something? Like, did you?
No.
Who were your coaches? Like, did you have any coaches or?
No, nope. We just kind of was like.
Whatever. People who had done it, who could give you like advice on how to do it properly?
Nope, we didn't know nobody. We didn't know anybody
at
all.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's very funny.
I didn't know how to swim. Like, I was terrified of open water. And that's also kind of why I want to do this, is because I was like, I'm going to get over this fear of open water. Like, there's no reason why I should be scared. So I was like, I'm just going to do it. So
that is super impressive. So that's where I'm at. Like, I have this dream of, you know, one day doing, you know, an Ironman, but I have extreme fear of racing bikes, of road bikes and racing on a bike. Now, I can bike, you know, I can do a city bike or whatever, but going super fast on a bike, I'm just terrified.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I'll ever get over that fear.
Yeah, you will for sure.
But it's, I'm like, well, if I want to do an Ironman, I have to get over that. But maybe I'll get some fitness therapy or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do that for sure.
Okay, so at that point, you kind of rough through the first, and that was a full or half Ironman?
That was a half. So that half was, October.
And how did that go?
It went good. I mean, I finished, I think it was like 6 hours or something like that.
I don't know what that means. Like, what's the average? Like,
so, I mean, I would say that's probably, you have 8 hours to complete it.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't super fast. It was just kind of somebody who just went out and did it. But I remember finishing, and like, this isn't like underestimating, like, or under stating what that distance is to some people, but for me, it just didn't feel like I wanted to do more, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I was kind of like thriving after something more. So
more, like, more maybe, challenging.
Exactly. And I know if you went faster or whatever, it would probably be, it would definitely be more difficult, but I'm more of I went from a sprinter to now an endurance athlete. So 2 or 3 weeks after completing that, I signed up for Ironman Texas, and that was going to be in April. So this was October, and the Ironman was April. So I was like, "All right, let's just do it. Why not?"
Wow! So you just didn't even wait. You did not even wait. Like, okay, ready for the next.
Exactly. Next thing. Exactly. So that was 2015. So, I just got online. I looked up Ironman training plans and started following it. So
so that would have been in 2015 then, in April. Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, so started following that training plan.
Anyone do it with you, or did you do that one on your own?
No, one of my friends actually did it with me. She was a lady that I had worked with previously. I hadn't talked to her really much, but like, I saw her on Facebook, and she had actually signed up for the same one, and it was her first one as well.
Okay.
So so we kind of did that together. So that was kind of fun.
It's good to have someone who knows what you're going through, like the pain of the training and the ups and downs.
I mean, it's
us, you know, regular people, like, we don't get it. We can't get it. Like, we feel bad for you, but we can't fully understand what it means.
Exactly.
You know, sort of. And it almost sometimes feels like, oh, you know, it's like a privileged thing. So, you know, we don't take the pain seriously, quote unquote. I mean, it doesn't make the pain less, but it's like, oh, that's kind of a luxury thing that, you know, you get to do. So why should we feel bad about it? And so it's good to have someone who gets it.
I know, it's so true.
And can feel bad for you.
It's so true. Man,
Because, like, you know, how in the family, everybody sees you as like a superhero. So I don't think we fully understand pain that it entails. Like, oh, she's just an iron girl. Like, she's just made of iron.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel pain.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, exactly.
So you did that one, and then how did it go?
So that one was totally miserable. Well, and I've came to realize that's just an Ironman.
And you're gonna feel miserable. Yeah. Like, what was miserable about it? Like, was it miserable from the beginning, or was it just like in the middle? It started becoming like, oh, this is way long.
Well, it's always been after the bike and then onto the run. Like, and running's my thing. But my thing is like, your body, no matter how in shape it is not ready to be at that high intensity level for that long. Like,
cause you're already tired. It's like you're tired, and then you start something else, and you're even more tired, and then you start something else. Like, how do you do that?
Exactly. Yeah. But I finished and, so my best friend and her husband were there. And then also, my ex-husband was there also. And the feeling, there is no feeling to describe it. I don't have children, so maybe it's the same. But when you reach that red carpet and you hear your name, Tammy Hawes, you are now an Ironman. Yeah. It's like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, I thought Boston was good. This like tops it. Like,
I would think so. It's way harder. I mean, it's not way harder, depending on, you know, again, if you want to if you want a place or whatnot, like, you know, Boston would be hard also and whatnot, but we're talking different. It's a different beast. Definitely
it is. And then, like, as soon as you cross, like, your whole body is like, you just want to fall down, because you're just like, wow.
Because you've been holding it the whole time. You've been just using the last,
last
little piece of energy.
Exactly.
And resources.
Exactly.
So I have questions, like, throughout the whole thing, like, do you eat at all? Or, like, I mean, you have to kind of, what did you have as fuel?
Yeah, so on the bike, you kind of just go. So you have to, like, pack everything on you. So I just brought a lot of, there's these sports beans that you can have. You have some, I don't know if you're, I mean, goo, which is like this gel.
No, I know what that is. I can't digest that stuff. Like, I would probably, like, the beans are more like a,
yeah,
what is it? Like a nut ball or something, or?
Yeah, sort of. And it's kind of just like a jelly bean kind of, but it has like all the nutrients that you would need, like electrolytes, carbohydrates, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
So I'd use those. And then at like halfway through, you can have a special needs bag. And usually in there, I'd have like some kind of like protein and stuff. So I would have like a peanut butter and jelly, one of those frozen ones. And I'd eat that up really fast. And then really just like hydration in your drinks. There's like these special drinks, and I would definitely like play around with it for the actual race.
Yeah, see what your body can actually digest properly. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's some that have, you just want to take in like, you know, 300 calories every hour or so, you know.
Okay.
And then that's kind of what I would do. Just put in as much fuel as you can on the bike. And then when you get to the run, they have a bunch of aid stations, and I take a lot of sodium, like salt pills, and like they have like potato chips that actually are really good when you're kind of sweating out all your.
Well, yeah, because it's, you want that salt, and you just, do you just stop and walk and eat?
So through water stations, I would always walk through them and then just get in as much as I can, and then just start hobbling along again.
It's crazy. Kind of masochistic when you think about it, because, I mean, you're just kind of in pain the whole time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What is it about that? What is it about that? Like, I mean, I've done, you know, I've done marathons and whatnot, and I understand at a small level, right? The joy of like completing, finishing, knowing what your body's capable of. To me, it's always a journey. That since I started running, like I had never done a race. I think, well, I did a couple of 5Ks and 10Ks before doing that first marathon that we did together.
Yeah.
Because I was always afraid of not finishing. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I do not want to do like a formal race because I'm too afraid that I won't, you know. And I'm pretty sure like when I was in college at BYU and whatnot, that I had done, if not a half marathon distance close, because I would go on these really long runs, you know, that would be like mm-hmm. a couple of hours long at times. Yeah. But I was always afraid, like I had never done formal races until after I had kids, which is interesting. But then to me, it's always kind of a symbolic, like, this is life, you know, can I get through all this hardship? Can mm-hmm. I get through all this pain? And then, you know, if you do, then there's always something really, really good at the end, you know, that will come out. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how you see it, you know, when you do these challenges, or if I can do this, then I can do hard thing, you know, in my life outside of athleticism.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of why I kind of set my goals and expectations, is seeing like what you can do. Like, you are capable of so much. It is really just about what you set in your mind on what you can achieve. And I firmly, firmly believe that, just with anything, you know. Like, I don't know if you want to talk about this now or later, but for the longest time, like, you set these goals. So for instance, like, I set this goal, I want to do a 3:30 marathon. In my head, like, I didn't think I could go below that until I did, you know. And then I run a 3:25 marathon, and then in my head I'm like, I can't do any better than that. And for the longest time, like, I couldn't, until I was like, you know, I can do this, like, I can do this. And then my last marathon, I got, you know, 3:24. So it's really like,
it's what you set yourself up to do. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I can correlate that to like how you are in life. Like, well, I can't do this because blah, 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 blah. The second you like switch your mindset and say like, I can do this, it will take work to do this, but I can do this. The second you're able to achieve really anything you put your mind to, you know what I mean? Like,
because you put your focus, your energy and everything that it takes to move in that direction. Yeah. I can't think of a better way to learn these things than fitness, you know, because to me, it's a true, I should, you know, take it from me personally, the level, like my level of dedication, as far as, you know, going running every day and stuff like that. I mean, I'm nowhere near to like, you know, the super athlete that you are, but the consistency, the dedication, it transpires in so many other aspects of my life, you know. And mentally, it's, I always say that if I wasn't running or anything like that, yeah, I mean, I always say that if I was not exercising for a minimum amount every day, every week, I would probably be on antidepressant with everything going on. And to me, it's the best medicine. It's the best medicine. And I don't care what you do. It doesn't have to be running or whatnot, but just moving your body, there's something about, and science proves it too. I mean, I've been listening to, it's scientifically proven that when we move our body, keep in motion, it will help. It will help us overall. It will help us our mental and so many different aspects, right, of our life.
I firmly 100% believe that. I always tell people, you know, if I'm in a bad mood, just tell me to put my running shoes on and go for a run, because if that happens, then my mood is automatically brighter, or the problems, that's when I'm able to solve the problems that are in my head is while I'm running. So funny story. I knew. It kind of got me through, you know, hard times, hard relationships, hard, you know, everybody has their bad days at work. And I feel like when you get home and you feel like there's like a 100-pound weight on your shoulders, the first thing you want to do probably is sit down, watch TV, relax, eat.
And eat.
Yes.
A lot.
But I found, right, I found that if I came home before I did anything else, I would change into my running clothes, put on my running shoes, and head out the door. Now, I used to work a 7-to-7 shift, so I'd get home at like 8 p.m. I was on my feet all day long. So of course, like the first thing I wanted to do was put on my shoes and go, or put on, sit down on the couch and eat. But I found that if I did go out for the run, I would come home and I felt like my whole day, the whole stresses of the day were gone, you know?
Yep.
So I just became like a super firm believer in doing that. And I, and now I've been doing it for like 10 plus years, you know?
That's really inspiring, because for me, I like to start my day with working out because it sets the tone. And I'm always afraid that, you know, if I get so tired, you know, running after the kids or this or that, like I won't have the energy to go at night. And so, but I do like, I do like the idea of, you know, doing it to kind of wash off, you know, everything that happened during the day. I mean, I want to argue that it almost doesn't matter when you choose to do it, because it will set you up, you know, like for me, I know this is like really weird, but like if all I've done, which doesn't happen often, of course, because I have a life, but if all I've done is like work out, I'm like, I feel like I've accomplished something today. I feel better about myself.
Exactly.
No matter what, you know, I'm like, if all I've done today is go on a run, you know, I've done something, you know. I mean, most of us adult work and do other things, and
it's so
us
true,
who are
yeah.
parents, we have kids and stuff, but it's almost, and when I don't, for what, you know, X, Y, or Z, like I just am, it gets me depressed real quick. Like, I mean, at least if I don't do it for a few days, or it I can really sink into depression. So I don't know if it's addiction or if it's just a mental thing.
Yeah. No, and that's what I tell people. I say, you know, pick a time that you will be able to hold yourself accountable for. If it's the morning, that's great. If it's the afternoon, that's great. If it's the evening, that's great. Just pick a time that you know you can set aside for yourself. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter when that is. Just make sure that it's consistent, that you can do it every day. Because for me, I'm not a morning person. I know that I will do it now because, you know, I'm kind of, that's my thing. But in the beginning, when I was getting started, if I said, oh, I'm going to wake up and go for a run in the morning, that wasn't going to happen, you know? So I picked the time in the evening because I knew that I would do it, more likely do it in the evening.
And you would have that kind of energy. And see, for me, I am a morning person. I wake up early no matter what, with or without an alarm. Like, my body's just set up that way. And so and also because I'm a parent, I love having those few hours before they wake up, especially now in the summer. wake up later. So I feel like I have all these quiet time and, you know, but like you said, just pick a time and stick to it. And it becomes kind of a ritual also. So we're not going to go into, you know, the whole church thing. Like, you were, you know, people who have listened to your first podcast know that you were, you know, born and raised in the LDS faith, and then you left. I was wondering if it became a kind of a religion for you, like the whole exercise, because you are definitely above average, like in your devotion to, you know, health and fitness, and you're super serious about, I mean, way above average. So I don't know.
And that's what, for sure it has. And it's funny that you say that, because, you know, a lot of times you're like, find somebody, or you're taught, like, find somebody who believes in the same faith as you. Well, for me, it's find somebody who understands your commitment and what you want to accomplish, because because they'll be the ones that, like, hey, no, you need to go for your run, or, you know, you need to train. They're not sitting there being like, come on, just stay with me, you know?
Yes.
So, yes, that's funny that you say that. So find somebody, or if you are married already, make sure that the person that you're with understands and is able to support you in that goal that you have, as becoming an athlete. And I say athlete, anybody's an athlete, like, yeah. So it doesn't have to be like as crazy as I am about it, but if you have a goal that you want to do, you're in my mind an athlete, you know? So I think that is hugely important for you to have success as a runner or whatever. So
yeah, I mean, and you know from personal experience that when it's not the case, it can actually create a lot of friction and tension within a couple. So it's good to have someone who's understanding. And to me, honestly, like today, like I can say that, you know, I would put mental and physical health. I think that's my foundation, like just constantly being working on that, because it influences everything else. Of course, anything can turn into, where's the line where like it becomes an unhealthy obsession, would you say? And she's like, I don't know about that.
Never. I would say never. I really don't know if I can answer that. I would say, I don't know. That's a hard question, Juliana. Maybe I am an unhealthy obsession of it.
Well, I'm honestly, it's a non-judgment question, because it's not like you're like neglecting your kids or, you know, your spouse or, you know what I mean? So there is no, you know, just like anything in life, too much of anything can become detrimental.
Yeah.
And I think that it's easier for people who are not into it to also see it that way, or like they'll say, oh, it's an escape, you know, they want to escape from reality. And so they do this. But to me, it's like, you know what, if that's going to be the escape, much better than food, drugs, alcohol, like take the fitness. I mean, you know, the people who spend too much time at the gym or whatever, like, what is it? I mean, unless you are hurting someone else or neglecting someone else, like I have a hard time also sometimes seeing it as detrimental. I mean, it's like you have a job, you have, you know, you're responsible. You know, if you're married and you have kids and a spouse, and you use it as an escape to not be with them or see them or take care of them, then, you know, one might want to start asking questions as finding balance or resolving the problem, resolving the problems at hand and not, you know, running away from them. But I also want to say that when you go into these long, you know, endurance type of, you know, whether it's biking, running, you are forced to be with yourself and dig into, you know, your conscience and your thoughts and everything as your life, because it's you with you. And I know you even go without music sometimes on these super long, and I can't even do that. Like, I mean, if I know I'm going to be gone for over six, most of the time I have music on even for short runs. But if I'm going to be like gone a couple of hours, for sure I will have music on. Like, I don't do it, but I know you do it with no music sometimes.
Yeah, always. Yeah. I never listen to music on my runs. I like to be in my thoughts.
Yeah. And to me, that's admirable, because I mean, don't you get bored? Like,
no, I actually don't. I find that like, that's my problem solving time. And I really don't, I mean, I'm okay going with people every once in a while, but I don't really like running with people, because then it kind of interrupts my alone time.
And your rhythm. I'm the same way. Like, occasionally it's fun, but I'm not like an everyday, like, because it's me time.
And I've found that to be like, my running kind of became my best friend and someone I can rely on. It's something I have control over. Like you were saying, as you were going through your ups and downs, so I also see a therapist regularly, just for life's problems. But I would take what she had, like every couple of weeks we meet and I take what we talk about, and my running is the time where I can actually process everything that she's saying to me, and kind of helped me to become like a better person or a better version of me. So that's that's kind of when I do all that. But it's definitely been, my little second load of therapy for sure.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And also, side notes, I've already said that before, but I do think everybody needs to see a therapist. I like this. I do like that we have, as human beings, that we have mm-hmm. that tool. And yeah. I'm saddened that more people don't use it. Mm-hmm. Exercise is the, you know the quote who says it's like the most underused antidepressant, mm-hmm. and food yeah. is the most overused antidepressant, mm-hmm. which is bad for you.
Yep, exactly.
So it would be exactly. nice if more people switch. And I think there is a slow trend going, you know, the right direction. Mm-hmm. But if you were to give advice to people who mm-hmm. want to start, you know, they know mm-hmm. you know how we are, like I'm not judging anyone, we've all been there, at least not you, but us normal people, we've all been there where we sometimes have a hard time with motivation, with you know, getting into it. Like for me, thinking about eventually doing an Ironman, I mean, it has to be realistic, you also with the kids, right. and but eventually that's something I'd like to do. But people who even want to just start doing something, because to me mm-hmm. exercise is like reading. It's like, don't tell me you don't like to read. Find the genre that you like, because there mm-hmm. is plenty of different genres, and right. there's plenty of different exercise, or, you know, whether it's yoga or, you know, it doesn't have to be running. Like, you can choose right. anything. But to say that you don't, and some people genuinely don't like it, but to me it's just like saying, I don't know, I don't like water. Like, and some people don't like water, they drink Coke all day. I don't know.
Exactly.
But what would you tell someone who wants to start or get into it and has a hard time doing it?
So showing up. Okay. Show up every day. I'm going to kind of like relate this to running, just because that's kind of what I know. But like you said, you can put this in whatever you want to do. But get your shoes on, walk a mile, walk half a mile, walk a quarter of a mile, but just show up every day. And consistency. So showing up and consistency, I would say, it would go hand in hand. One thing of encouragement I kind of want to say, and I actually had this talk with my little sister yesterday or today, because mm-hmm. I'm kind of been training her, because she's just signed up for a half Ironman. So I'm kind of like training her on that. And she's like, I just had the shittiest week. Like, my workouts were crap, everything like that. I said, don't expect to have a good day every day. Even somebody like me, who's been doing this for years, some days are just shit. Like, my legs don't turn over. Like, so don't get discouraged by the crappy days. And then keep with that consistency when you do have the crappy days. So all these kind of like tie back into all of each other. Mm-hmm. And then one quote that I really like is Des Linden. She just won Boston Marathon. She was the first American in like years to win Boston, like last year or the year before. But she said, train like a champion, eat like a champion, sleep like a champion, dream like a champion. So each one of those things are going to play into, I mean, of course, champion, you replace that with whatever, but each one of those will tie into kind of your overall fitness. And I really strongly believe in that. And then my other one is, now I just kind of incorporated this one probably, I don't know, a couple of years ago, but and try it next time, Juliana, when you're on your run. I want to hear what you have to say about this. But as you're running, instead of like having a frown on your face, force a smile and see how that affects you and your run that day.
I like that.
Yeah. So force a smile on your face and see how that'll change kind of like everything. So I actually incorporated that in my last race.
I'm losing you.
Hold on. I'm right. I actually incorporated that in the last race that I did. Mm-hmm. And even when it got super hard, and let me tell you, it was hard, but I actually got my fastest time. I got 10th overall, the women, and like, it was just an amazing race. And like the outcome was so much better. So just try that in your training and see how it changes. So that's kind of my bits of advice for you.
Nice. Well, it's not just for me, it's for anyone who for listens anyone. Who wants to to be better, but I will definitely take that. I will definitely, and I like that idea. I have this shirt that I like to run with that says no excuses, because it's so easy to, you know, like sometimes when I see the rain outside, I'm like, you know, that's a good excuse not to go. And then I'm like, hey, do you remember that you ran like a full half marathon entirely in the rain when you were in Switzerland? Do you remember that when you were at BYU, you ran in the snow because you were that motivated? So get out there.
Exactly. Yep. And try to find the good in a bad situation, I think is probably also, because if you find one thing that's good, it might help you, like your overall
pull
mind.
You through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm telling you, it comes down to the training, but it's also 100% the mind game as well. So,
Goodness. Yeah. I think that's even bigger than the physical, the mental. Mm-hmm. It's, you have to find ways, things that works like that, that will keep you on track, that will help you get, you know, show up every day, you know. And that is such a great analogy for life too, because we have to show up every day for life as well.
And also, most importantly, like, don't compare yourself to somebody else, because I may have a different goal as you. You may have a different goal as me. And I think that I struggle with that as well, but try not to compare yourself, because each person has their own goals. Each person has their own strengths and weaknesses. So
I like when you say, just, you know, your, what you do is, don't compare, because what you do and your best is not going to be the same as, you know, anyone else. But we don't even have to compete with ourselves, but know that we can always do better. Which, to me, there is a difference. I mean, some people are more competitive and they're like, oh, I need to beat, you know, my PR, whatever. For me, sometimes I just like to run, not knowing how fast I go, not knowing how long I go, but just do it and enjoy it purely for the enjoyment of it, and to showing up for myself, you know?
Exactly. I like that. Show up for yourself.
And that way it's like, there's no pressure. Like you don't have to, you know, of course, if you're training, it's a different story, but like most of the time, that's kind of the attitude. It's like, I'm doing this for me, and it's, and treat it like a treat, right? Treat it like a treat to yourself. So to end, I want to ask you maybe two or three people who have been an inspiration for you throughout your athletic journey. And also when you think of them, like I always say that I have, like, you're one of my little angels, like shoulder angels. Like when I get like discouraged, you and James, and there's this other girl who's a friend of mine from college, is Sarah. She's a pro athlete. And so when I start getting like discouraged or whatever, when I run, like, I like to think of you guys, because you give me, you know, I'm like, you know, I admire you, definitely in that field, and you give me courage. So who are your like shoulder angels or people that you look up to?
I would say definitely my brother, John. He kind of got me into the whole thing. So I definitely, And then also my best friend Annette, she keeps me going on the Ironmans. So if it wasn't for her, I would have been done a long time ago. Nice. So I would say those two, probably more so Annette now than than John. But I would definitely say that those two keep me moving forward. So yeah.
And I do like, so John is Tammy's brother and my brother-in-law. I still call him my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But I do love how he's getting back into that athlete mindset, you know, with looks and mind frame mindset. Like because that's how I've known him. Like that's how I've met him, you know. Like I've known you guys since like 2002. So that's a long time ago.
For sure. Like if it weren't for him, I don't think I would have ever become an endurance athlete, for sure.
That's very sweet. I'll make sure he listens to this.
Great.
Yes. All right, last word. You have the last word.
I would say don't get discouraged. It's going to be hard. It definitely will be hard, but keep showing up for yourself, like Juliana said, and keep being consistent, and you will start to see results, progress. It's a mountain. Just keep going. You're at the base. Keep going, climbing that mountain. And when you get to the top, you'll start to see like all of the rewards. And as you come down, it's going to even be better. So that's kind of my last bit of advice for you, and you can do it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate you doing that. I know it's going to help, you know, many people out there who are wanting to be that person, that best self that they can be. So thank you so much, Sammy. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Bye. Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.